From the studios of NPR West, this is Day to Day. I'm Madeline Brand.
And I'm Alex Cohen. Coming up, what would you say if you had just 5 minutes to vent to the panel overseeing the federal bailout plan? One former homeowner in Las Vegas got that chance.
First, the Federal Reserve cut short-term interest rates to near zero yesterday. Diane Swonk is the chief economist at Mesirow Financial. She says the Fed is trying to make it easy for companies to invest.
To be able to do more than just survive this economy, to invest in the future, to innovate. That's part of what our markets do. And where the most money has dried up has been in things like innovation, things we call venture capital, private equity, the experimental stuff on the sidelines that rocks our world and changes our life. That kind of stuff, the stuff that initially, you know, prompted Thomas Edison to turn the process of inventing into a business is not working right now. And we can't allow that to happen. You know, Thomas Edison rocked our world with the light bulb and, you know, film. He created the modern movie industry. His favorite invention was film. We don't have any of that going on like it should be going on today. And we need that to move forward as an economy and as a nation.
Maybe it was a little too much innovation that got the nation's biggest public pension fund into trouble. It's California's CalPERS that provides retirement benefits to 1.6 million California workers. It's lost nearly a quarter of its assets because it engaged in some risky investments. That's according to a story in today's Wall Street Journal. Michael Corkery is one of the reporters. And you write that CalPERS is now one of the biggest owners of undeveloped residential land in America. Now, obviously, that land is now worth a lot less than it was when it was bought. How did CalPERS get into the real estate business?
It started a long time ago in the early 90s. There was a lack of funding for home building back then coming out of the last recession. And CalPERS started small. They would do, you know, 100 homes at a time, buy the land, team up with home builders, and do these housing developments. But then as this latest housing boom came along in 2004, 2005, 2006, they grew their investments. They quadrupled them. Then when the music stopped, they got left holding the bag of land that they could no longer build on and they could no longer sell.
Now, ironically, you write that they actually went into the real estate business after being burned by the tech bubble bursting.
Yeah, when they grew it after the tech meltdown, as did a lot of other institutional investors, real estate was sort of the anti-tech. It was real. It was tangible. It was land. It had value. It had houses. You could see them. You could touch them. Not like websites and pets.com and all of that that we remember from that era. But as we know, the losses turned out to be just as great, if not greater, from this real estate bubble as they were during the tech bubble.
And CalPERS not only invested its own money, it actually borrowed money to invest in these land deals. Why would it do that?
Well, in the good times, that's smart financing. You know, why invest your own money when you can borrow and lever the returns on your own money? That's great when things are working out, but when the tide turns, you're on the hook to pay back a lot of that money. And that's what's happened in a lot of cases. And it's really amplified CalPERS' losses in many cases because, you know, well, they may want to say, hey, I'd like to walk away from that property. It doesn't make any more sense to put any more money in it. The lender is in some cases maybe saying, you've guaranteed that you'll pay back this debt. Now it's time to pay whether you want it to do it or not.
So CalPERS has lost 25% of its assets.
Yeah, no, you know, in fairness to CalPERS, you know, the primary driver of those losses is stock market declines, which has hit everybody in, you know, the past few months, given the sort of turmoil on Wall Street. But you know, they also took on a lot more real estate investments during the bubble, and therefore a big contributor to the losses is also the losses from real estate.
I guess my question is, does CalPERS have any kind of responsibility to operate in a more conservative fashion because it does control the retirement benefits of millions of state workers?
It's a great question. You know, I think land, which they invest in, is a very risky form of asset because, unlike a stock, it's hard to get rid of. And when things are going great, you know, you can't own enough of it to sell to home builders to put up houses on. But when, again, when the market turns, you can't get rid of it in some cases. So it is extremely risky. And while other pension funds did invest in land, CalPERS invested a lot. And, you know, they were doing it along with hedge funds and big investment firms. But that is a good question, whether a pension fund that is investing real money, I mean, this is the money of state workers, whether they should be in so heavily in an asset class that, like land, that's so risky.
Well, what now then? Will taxpayers have to foot the bill to pay for these retirement benefits?
Well, time will tell. I mean, certainly they've warned that employers in California, the cities and towns, if the returns don't turn around by June, you know, as soon as 2010, the rates that CalPERS charges these employers may go up. Right now it's about 13%. It could go up as much as 5%. And these cities and towns are already hurting from other problems. So that hasn't happened yet, but there's a possibility it might.
Michael Corkery of the Wall Street Journal, his article detailing the financial troubles with California's pension fund. That article is in today's paper. Thanks, Michael.